Hello, everyone, and welcome to Chapter Chat. I'm Natasha, and today in the episode, we are breaking down chapters 26 through 35 from A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas. We are from Those Working Fangirls, so if you are loving this Chapter Chat, make sure to watch or listen to the main show, which is out every Friday. We hope you guys enjoy the breakdown. And we'll see you next week for the last part.
So we read chapters 26 and 27. What do you think this was? Next chapter. This was interesting.
This was a great one.
Yeah.
This was top-notch ACOTAR chapter. Great.
I also was feeling like a little bit of a turncoat in this chapter because I remembered why, you know, at the end I was like, okay, wait. Or at this point, in the second book, I was like, why is she going with him? Because of all of this stuff. But I can't wait to get to the Under the Mountain stuff and look at it from a different perspective because now that I know everything. Yeah. But there are some interesting bits in this chapter. Okay, so this chapter, it's like the morning after or the lunch.
They're fiddling times. They're fiddling times. Dancing on each other, kissing times.
Yes. And Lucien's like, what did you do last night? And Tamlin's like waiting for Feyre to talk about it or like to see what she says. And she's like, I'm not going to say anything.
Like, they're just like lusting at each other at the table, though. And Lucien's like, Cauldron, help me. Hello, I'm here too. Can you get a room?
Yes. And then quickly we realize that something's happening and that someone is going to be there, and magic like burns the inside of her nostrils, and Lucien pushes her against the wall and puts his glamour over her.
He doesn't just push her against the wall, he's like smashed up in front of her against the wall. She's just like trying to peer around him as he like smooshes her into the wall with his back.
And she's like, why didn't he just hide me behind the curtain? we find that Rhysand has entered the room. And I think you have more extensive notes on this. I don't know.
Yeah. I can talk about it, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So before this, though, Feyre is thinking about how she would let Tamlin take her right now on the table. Wow. She's really hot for him right now. And Rhysand shows up. He's like, did you like the present I sent? Turned out that head on a spike a couple chapters ago was from Rhysand. And he's been working for 50 years right now as Aramantha's whore, and he's doing it to protect his people. We don't know that at this moment, but he's doing it in effort to protect his people from being touched by Aramantha at all. And he tells Tamlin that he's just resigned himself to his fate. You're just sitting here doing nothing. And Tamlin literally says there's nothing to be done. And Lucien gets angry. He's like, I've been doing something. And then Lucien actually says that Feyre is his betrothed when Rhysand clocks that there's another set of plates on the table. And then Rhysand riles Lucien up like, oh, your parents are going to be pissed off when they see that you're dating mortal swine or whatever the fuck
another
he says.
Another commoner lover. Yeah, literally Rhysand calls Feyre mortal trash.
I mean, he's putting on an act, but he does say that. But it was very interesting to me that like Tamlin had resigned himself basically to his fate in this situation. He was kind of like, either I'm gonna break the curse or not, and there's nothing I could do about anything else. Because Rhysand also, I think, brings the news, or Lucien maybe says it beforehand, that 24 fey youths had been wiped out by the blight just recently. The blight like took away their magic, and then their mind got torn to pieces.
Oh shit! I don't think I got to that part, or I realized
just missed it.
What's happening?
Yeah.
And I think like the way that Rhysand was talking about Tamlin was like he just thinks he's sitting on his ass, like doing nothing, and that like Rhysand is so pissed off that he's had to keep doing what he has to do to be able to save his people. And that Tamlin just seems like he's doing nothing. And he gets to sit in his lavish home and be in the garden. And that's like exactly the sentiments I was getting from Rhysand at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Rhysand puts his mind powers onto Feyre. She feels like his claws are like stroking her mind and he's controlling every single part of her body very easily. He asks her what her name is. She says, "My name's Claire Better." Just someone from her neighborhood that popped into her head. And I mean, if Rhysand could sense anything, he could sense that her name wasn't Claire Better.
Yeah.
She's like, "I can't hesitate." It's like, you can't do anything. He knows your name already. He like sees into her thoughts and he's spewing all this information out loud that like she's wondering what your fingers would feel like in between her thighs and all this intricate like sex stuff. You think he didn't know your name already?
I know.
But he says that Aramantha will enjoy breaking her under the mountain and that he looks forward to seeing them there.
Yes. And then Tamlin's like, "Please don't tell Amarantha about Feyre." Yeah. And he's like,
"Maybe I will, maybe I won't."
Maybe I will. And then he's like, "Beg." And then he makes Tamlin and Lucien put their heads on the floor and beg.
Yeah. And they do it.
And in that moment, like, Feyre's like, "I want to kill Rhysand."
Yeah. Well, she also says that she wasn't bold enough to paint him after seeing him at the spring that fling, whatever it was called. And it's because fucking Tamlin's so jealous, he would go into a rage seeing that, I bet. And now after he's starting to be mean to them, she says something like, "I'll never be able to paint him now." Just you wait.
Lol.
Just you wait.
Okay, so that was chapter 26. Now we have chapter 27.
The sex chapter. I didn't remember these explicit sex scenes.
It wasn't even that explicit. Like, compared to her other stuff, like, this was...
I thought there was nothing in this because the other stuff really stands out more. But, like, she talks about... I wrote down some specific wording here. He feasted on her and he sheathed himself inside her.
That's very romance.
That's very romance novel talk, for sure. It really stood out. I was like, that is a romance novel that we are reading right now. Lots of sexy time.
And then she's like, Tamlin kisses her and then she straddles him. "Give me everything." And he lunged.
A beast untethered. That was the wording after that. It all really stuck into my brain. But before this, I have to note that after fucking Rhysand leaves, Feyre goes to her room because she's like, she doesn't want to be around for Tamlin's rage. And Tamlin rages like a fucking violent toddler going through the house, breaking furniture. And she's just like, "I didn't even go down for dinner because I didn't want to know if there was no dining room table to eat in." This is another enormous red flag. Like, this man cannot contain his anger. Like, if you are dating someone who fucking breaks shit when they get mad, that's a step away from hitting you when they're mad. Like, I can't. This man cannot control his most basic emotion.
Yeah. I did not clock that the way that you had just explained that again. And that makes a lot of sense because, like, at this point, I was like, okay, like, I kind of remember why I liked Tamlin. Like, I loved the sexy scene, but then there's other, and then, like, Rhysand just got on my nerves saying all that stuff. And, like, I get it now, like, after talking about it. Emily goes, "How did I like Tamlin in the first book?" is my question. And then Katie says, "Just like Feyre fell for the first person to show an interest in her, we as readers were sucked in by the first potential love interest."
Yeah, you're blinded in the same way that she is, and that she was in such a bad situation before this that, like, anything better feels like heaven until you realize what's actually happening. Abby said she thought it felt like Edward with the protectiveness, but I feel like Edward, I don't know, he wasn't as rageful in outward ways, you know? I know he, like, would squeeze stuff and sometimes it would break, but I don't think he ever, like, ran around breaking stuff around her, unless I'm not remembering, which could be possible. Because I wouldn't put it past him.
Yeah. But what also happens in this chapter is that Tamlin says that he's sending her home.
Yes.
And that's that Feyre...
Then they have sex.
Yeah. And then Feyre doesn't want to go home because she wants to stay there because that's the first time, you know, she's ever felt wanted, like, and loved and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. She feels, she says, this feels like home now. And that now he's so much more than a friend or a protector. And I was like, when was he a friend? Honestly. But then at the end, after they've had sex multiple times, I think they have sex twice, go to sleep, wake up, have sex again. And then she's falling asleep and she's like, don't leave. I want you to stay here. And he like holds her, strokes her head. And as she's falling asleep, he says, I love you, thorns and all. And she's like, oh, I think it was a dream.
And that's the end of chapter 27. And then we go back to the real world.
What real world?
Or her world.
We do?
I think so, because she sees her family there. And that's when you're like...
Did you start reading?
I don't... No, I just remembering this.
Oh, I don't remember ever seeing her family again. I don't remember a lot of this book. You know what? The first chapter I did actually vividly remember was... the one where Rhysand comes in. Like, I vividly remember being afraid of him because it really scares me when people have mind control like that. What was that?
Jessica Jones?
No, that really fucking scared me, Jessica Jones. But there was a book that starts with a K, I think, where they have, like, two different eye color eyes. Do you remember that? Fuck, there was like a sword on the front and it had a very like rainbow fantasy background. Her name started with a K. It reminded me of Katniss's name. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? There were like three books and the king could like whisper something to somebody. And any time that person said something, Graceling. Yes. That scared the motherfucking daylights out of me, that power. Because it was so strong that he could tell someone and that person could tell someone. And then it goes all the way down through the kingdom. And that's why he's in power. And that was like, this was giving me those vibes out of the gate. So I was very scared of Rhysand in this scene. We are talking chapters 28 and 29 of A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas.
Chapters 28 and 29 were actually pretty short. And these are the chapters that... Feyre goes back home. Now, I kind of remember this as like Tamlin going with her for some reason, but this is like that point in the Beauty and the Beast story where like Belle has to go back and like save her father, and then like, you know, the Beast is in turmoil and or is in danger and she has to come back and save him. So those are these chapters.
Evermore.
Yes, Evermore. This is the Evermore song. So these are these chapters for A Court of Thorns and Roses. Chris, I have a lot more notes than Christine.
Yeah, so these chapters were so fucking boring. I was like, no wonder I forgot about
them.
No,
they weren't. They were some good bits.
Ugh, I found them so boring. Well, I to be honest, I don't really like the book ACOTAR. I love the other ones. And so these were the worst parts of ACOTAR for me because I hated Nesta so much and I hated her family because they were terrible to her. So I think I just blocked them out. But basically, you know, she comes back. Tamlin sends her back with like egg-sized rubies and shit so that they're super wealthy. But she comes back and they're already like in a manor with tons of bedrooms. Mm-hmm. And doing super well because Tamlin fake had them invest with his fake company and then there were fake returns that got them really rich.
Mm-hmm. So there's a little bits here that I kind of pulled out. So when Tamlin was saying goodbye to Feyre, Lucien was like super angry. He's like, why don't you just let her stay a few days? And obviously I forgot about this. I'm like, oh, it's because of the curse that he wants her to say that, you know, she loves him, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, because he says he loves her.
And twice. She doesn't say it back. Yeah. And then I thought it was really interesting about what Pharaoh was thinking about the humans. And it kind of showed how, I don't really know what the word I want to use, prideful, prudish. She was like kind of looking down on them, being like, all these rounded faces and
like
the food
condescending.
Condescending, almost? Yeah. And like how the food tasted like ash because it was so different from her experience in Perinthian.
Well, because everything is so heightened over in Perinthian, I guess. It's made her into a bit of a snob.
Yes.
In the human world.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was like, she looked at her old lover, Isaac, and was like, he's so gangly and human.
Also, her sisters did not recognize her at first.
I know, because she must have been so emaciated from starving, I can only assume, and like being so stressed all the time.
Mm-hmm. They also found all of his missing ships. So all of her father's missing ships.
I feel like he just made those ships and was like, these are them.
That's true. It's a lot of magic working.
It's a bunch of magic gaslighting. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was basically chapter 28. Was her coming back. They're in this big house. And it's a whole different life. Okay. And then chapter 29, there's a little bit more going on.
Oh, wait. There's one other thing. Oh, wait. This is chapter 29. Never mind.
Okay. Yeah. So chapter 29, in the very beginning, we learned that her father is, like, back to normal, like, in very good health. Because a stranger gave him a salve. And now he's...
A magic salve.
And now he's back to normal. And obviously that was Tamlin. Or someone
he sent.
Yeah. And then in that one, we also learned that, she came back as, like, a wealthy woman with all these jewels, clothes, gold. And at this point, like, she feels like something foreboding is coming. Like, she has, like, the sense that she kind of left Tamlin and he's, like, in danger now.
Did you get the sense that Nesta kind of remembers what actually happened to Pharaoh? Because I did. I feel like there's something in her that knows that there was no aunt.
I wonder, because
she tried to go save her.
Mm-hmm. Which I forgot about that point. Mm-hmm. Oh, she does know. That's what Katie says.
She does know, yeah. Because I forget if she... It's revealed later. Okay, yeah. I forgot if it was revealed later, but I was like, I think she knows. I think there's something in her that can't be affected the same way by the magic because she's so stubborn-headed, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, she tries to go save her, and that really, like... touched some part of me, even though she's still being like withdrawn and bitchy.
Yeah, because she actually does care. I mean, mm-hmm. She didn't know what was going to happen to her, but the cares broke down and then they had to turn back. Also, her sisters were writing to her the entire time, but then I love that they also don't remember that she can't read.
I know. I was like, why were they even fucking writing to her if no one taught her to read? Why wouldn't they teach her to read? That pissed me off too. When I think about that, like, why wouldn't you teach your little sister to fucking read when you're like in this situation where you're all just trapped together in this little tiny cottage?
Yeah. And then at the end of chapter 29, she goes and visits the cottage again and is reminded of how much she hated that place. And Elaine kind of talked about it earlier and how she kind of looks back.
She missed it,
which I feel like I kind of related to, because it kind of brought me back to, like, you know, the quarantine times and like being at home and not having, and like kind of looking back at that time and I don't know. It's
kind of like romanticizing the bits of it that were good.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Parts yeah. of life.
Because you did, there was this coziness to some aspects of, like, being at home with your family and, like, not having to do all the other stuff, you know, because you couldn't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what I feel like she's feeling. Because they're, like, when you're all together in one room, it's so different than, like, when you're all living your normal lives and everyone's going off doing their things all the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So... Christine thought these chapters were boring. I kind of liked being back, but we're getting down to the final
the final mountain. Act.
I want to get to the mountain.
I don't remember like any of that stuff. So I'm
I
very
know
excited.
That's why I want to get to it. Yes, I need to analyze the fucking mountain.
All right.
What I.
That's what he what?
That's what I want to deep dive. Oh, I want to really quickly point out that Elaine is like, we're going to go to the continent and look at flowers next summer. Do you want to come?
This is all just like the way that the map is and the way that she said she wants to look at the flowers. It just feels like they're very much like on like in the UK, and then she wants to go to the wants to go to the continent and like to where, you know, the where do they grow tulips?
It almost feels like
Sweden.
No, that's
Amsterdam.
Amsterdam. But it almost, I mean, when you look at the map, it looks like the UK next to Europe. But it almost feels like they're on their own little island, like they're in like Ireland or something.
Yeah, it's Ireland.
And yeah, chapters 30 and 31. So
Christina has like a sentence.
Because I thought chapter. These were kind of like nothing chapters again. I'm waiting for some lore to come my way. And these were like Farah. I mean, I liked chapter 30 more than the previous chapter because we just talked about how Nesta... I was saying how I think she knows, and someone in the chat had said that she does know about what actually happened to Feyre, and then it's confirmed like in this next chapter. So like a page later, it was like, yeah, Nesta knows.
Yeah.
So she kind of confronts Feyre about knowing and how the magic didn't work on her, and she felt like she was going crazy because all of a sudden her dad and her sister weren't mourning the loss of Feyre anymore, and they were all happy-go-lucky again, and she went all the way to the wall. She didn't go and her carriage broke down. Like, Nesta went all the way to the wall looking for Feyre, and she couldn't get through the wall because she didn't know how.
Which
made me really happy.
Yeah, and I mean, she didn't go about it in a very nice way, in her, like, Nesta way.
Yeah.
But she also, like, Nesta, like, she asked, she's like, okay, well, obviously, you weren't at this made-up Aunt Ripley's house. Where were you? And then Feyre tells her everything, and so at least she now has a confidant. Yeah. And then Nesta asked her to paint.
She asked her to teach her how to paint.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's that was chapter really 30. Nice.
For Nesta, that was like a really great bonding scene. I remember the first time I read this, I was like, ew, Nesta's being such a bitch still. But now that I like have more of a feel for who she is and who she will be, I was like, oh, look at her being nice. All right. So yeah, chapter 30 was fine. And then you want to talk about chapter 31?
Yeah. So chapter 31, basically, we find out that the name that Feyre gave Rhysand.
Oh, yeah. Claire Banter or something.
Claire something. We find out that her entire family perished in a house fire.
The night that Feyre left.
Yeah, the night that Feyre left. Like, the day before Feyre got back, or 2 days before Feyre got back.
I love how Feyre's like, that could have been us. Like, that would have been us. Like she thinks that they don't know that she was lying. It's a message. They know that Claire Better wasn't her. Like, Rhysand couldn't look into her mind and know that she was lying. That was ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe that was his way of protecting her. Because I remember, the first time reading this, I was like, Rhysand? Excuse me?
Yeah. Well, the first time reading this, I didn't know Rhysand was going to be good.
Yeah. I know Alex, the other day, I was watching this TikTok, and he's like, oh, I love that, like, cap cut thing. Because what's it called? On CapCut, they use this.
You're talking about
Yeah, whatever. It was just, you know, like, you know how you can like put like a, use like a cap cut thing and then you can like make it for your niche, whatever. It was a TikTok about Resan. He's like, oh, let me look at it. And then I'm like, you're not going to understand this. And then he's like, oh, no, I get it because I've been editing. So I understand. Resan's the bad guy who was like trying to tear into her mind. Right. I was like, yes, but.
Spoilers, he's the love interest.
Yeah, so we find out about Claire's family, and basically that just sets her on the path to be like, okay, gotta go, guys, please take care of yourself, go across the ocean to the continent if you need to save yourself, but I'm out of here, I'm going back and seeing like what's been going down, and, well, and if Tamlin's okay
to save Tamlin. Yeah, she has this feeling that Tamlin's in trouble and the blight is spreading. And so Nessa's like, we're fine. Go save him. And Nessa talks about how she's so mad at her dad because he let their mom die. And she's like, what are you talking about? He loved her. And she said that if your loved one was sick, you'd go to the ends of the earth to find a cure. And dad didn't do anything. And so it was like, I don't know. I feel like their relationship with him evolves by the end of it. But in that moment, she's still holding a lot of anger toward their father.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So that was interesting. She goes back to the manor. She crosses the wall. She finds the gate to get through it. And it's destroyed. Like, it looks like an army ran through there. So that's also interesting. I'm like, how many people actually went in there? Was it just, like, magic destruction, maybe? Perhaps.
I don't know. But she also, Feyre also wants to tell Tamlin that she loves him.
Oh, yeah.
A little
yeah.
too late, Feyre.
It's just too little too late. Yeah, and that's chapter 30 and 31. Maybe the next chapter will finally go under the mountain.
I think it's a journey to the mountain.
How does she get there? What? I just don't understand how Feyre gets to the mountain unless she's kidnapped. I thought she was kidnapped. I was waiting for her to be kidnapped this whole time.
We're on chapters 32 and 33 of ACOTAR. We're finally getting somewhere in ACOTAR, Court of Thorns and Roses. If you don't know, we've slowly been making our way through ACOTAR. We are finally at the edge of under the mountain. We are finally there. I had a thought. I'm like, I want to put all of our chapter chats together in like one mega episode so that if people are reading it, they can just listen to all of it together.
Watch it.
Yeah. So that's a thought if you guys want to hear that. So chapter 32 is a long one.
It would probably be for new people.
Yeah, for new people. Chapter 32 is a long one.
Because everyone who's here.
We left off that Feyre figured out something bad was happening. She went over the wall. And now she went back to the Spring Court. Took her a few days. She's back there. And Tamlin's gone. Everything's gone. There looked to be like a tussle. Not really sure. No, Christine, you had some thoughts.
Comment on the very like police detective like assessment Feyre's doing of the manor. She's like, according to the blood spatter, there were 5 people inside, and a tussle broke out in the back door. Is this all from your tracking? It's like Dexter assessing a crime scene that's happening right now. I was laughing listening to it.
I saw your notes about that. I was like, you're right, that is weird. She was like, and I think that, yeah, they did Lucian and Tamlin did not put up a fight, and I think they went willingly.
Just like, there's 4 sets of footprints over here, and then 5, they were surrounded.
So,
Feyre hides behind the door because she hears someone coming, and lo and behold, it's Alice. And we just get a whole bunch of info dump in this chapter.
So much.
It's just so frustrating because, well, we learn in this chapter, finally, that she had, they literally had 3 days left before they could break the curse. And Tamlin's just like, no, go. I don't, like, go back home. I don't need you. And, of course, the whole point of the curse is that we learn that Amarantha wants to take over the human worlds and is waiting for the treaty to pass, or, I don't know, get around the treaty somehow. I don't remember exactly how she was going to do that. And then kill all the humans. So what's the point of letting Feyre go if she's going to die anyways?
Tamlin's stupid thinking on this is so frustrating because, first of all, Alice is like, you're so stupid, girl. Like, I bet you're, she's so mean. And I was like, she has no fucking idea what's going on. She has no fucking idea what's going on in your world. Why aren't you blaming Tamlin, who she seems to be like, oh, Tamlin did everything. He tried. Like, if he tried, he could have just left her there for a couple of days, because she's going to be in trouble no matter what, because they know that she's been staying with him. It's ridiculous. And then as Alice is explaining the curse that Amarantha put specifically on him, I was just like laughing hysterically. Not hysterically, but I was just giggling the whole time because it's so ridiculous. It's like he has to fall in love with a human, and that human has to have hate in their heart, and the human has to want to kill a fairy, and then the human has to kill a fairy, and that fairy has to be one of his men. And it's just like so dumb how specific it is, and like the fact that these men were like, oh, you killed our friend. Like, they have the nerve to be annoyed with Feyre when she comes back after killing this fairy, when she's truly their only hope to fucking breaking this curse. And the fact that Tamlin wouldn't immediately try to, like, be nice to her. I just, like, I don't understand this at all. They're all a bunch of dumbasses, and I can't. I can't with these boys. I can't.
Well, I mean, after this very, very, very specific curse that gets set upon them for 49 years, he tries in the very beginning, and he sends out all of his men, and they all get killed some way or the other, and it doesn't happen. And then at the very end, months before the curse is going to be broken, everything falls into fucking place.
So I'm wondering, how many times did someone actually kill the wolf? Because Feyre had this very rare fucking ash arrow. So how was anyone supposed to kill the fucking wolves in the first place? Like, I just don't even understand.
Oh, and some of them wouldn't be killed, but they would come back and they'd be like, oh, we scared off this. So I don't think we explained the curse very well, if you're trying to be reminded of what happened. So,
well, I know. Yeah, go ahead. You know what happened.
So we learn that Amarantha is the blight. That's what, how they've been explaining her off to Feyre. And for 100 years, so she's been in Perithian for 100 years. For the first 50 years, she's just trying to kill all. She's the one who kind of started the human war and killed humans.
Well, she was the Highburn's, like, highest ranking,
yes, the most
person that they had on the field.
The most deadly, lethal general. And she slaughtered high fae and fairies and humans who got in her way. She also had a sister called Clythia, who was just as vicious as her. What?
Clythia, yeah.
Yeah, Clythia, who was just as vicious as her. But Clythia fell in love with a human, and his name was Jurian. And Amarantha had suspicion that Jurian was actually using Clythia, but she didn't want to come in between them because her sister was so in love. And lo and behold, he was actually using her to gain information about Amarantha and all of her soldiers and her plans and stuff. And he ended up torturing her and slaughtering her and cutting her up into little bits and leaving her for Amarantha to find. So, not infuriates Amarantha even more. And kind of puts her on a path to, she decided without the King of Highburn, and who knows, like, who knows if she actually had, what from Alice's perspective, if she had the blessing to kind of be the queen of all the lands. But she comes up with this plan to put a curse, or to, I think, to put a spell on all of the High Lords and steal their power and become the queen of all the lands of Perinthian.
Yeah. Yeah. So basically they have this party and she like spikes the punch with poison is what I'm getting from the story. Yeah. It's like she's a witch from Snow White. Like, and they all drink it and she steals their power and they are left with just like the dregs of their abilities. And then she knows Tamlin because she and Tamlin's daddy are tight because Tamlin's daddy is like a really evil slave owner guy who agrees with Highburn. And she, when she comes into power, is like, I have a crush on Tamlin and I want you to come be my like sex slave. And if you do, then I won't. Well, does she even say that she's going to curse his land?
No.
I think he says, no, fuck you. I would rather die or something.
So that's what happens. That's what happens at the masquerade. So he knows that Amarantha lusts after him.
Oh, yeah, the stuff with Lucien happens first.
Yeah, and so he kind of keeps his distance, and then he sends Lucien to kind of smooth things over, and Amarantha gouges out his eye, and he comes back, and even Tamlin is sickened by what he sees, so who knows how actually, like, vicious and bloody and gross he could have come back. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah, and then she's like, let's make it better. I'll have a masquerade ball for the spring court to smooth things over. And that's when she is like, be my cohort or we will curse you. And she's like, and then he lashes out and she says, fine, if you'd rather be with a human than with me, then I'm going to curse you all and you can find a human under these very specific circumstances to break the curse.
Yeah, you have 7 times 7 years, so 49, to find a human girl who hates fairies and to marry her and to say that she loves him. And the girl had to kill a fairy. And then everyone was bound in their masks. And the curse is broken now because it's gone now past the 3 days and Alice can tell her everything.
But the curse isn't broken. It's just not in effect anymore.
It's not in effect anymore. That's what I meant. Oh, we also learn that Amarantha executed High Lords if they went against her. And
two.
Yes. And the High Lords of Day, Summer, and Winter tried to rally against her, I guess. And then we also learned that the Children of the Blessed, which were at the very beginning of the novel, would come over the wall because they were obsessed with fairies, and that they would try to use them as messengers to send out calls for help to, like, the main continent. And they never got far because Amarantha would take them and slaughter them.
Yep. Rough times. And then in chapter 33, she's like asking Aelys to tell her how to get to the mountain. Aelys is being a total mean asshole. Being like, you're just going to die. You're just going to make it worse. Like, you're never going to make it. You're going to go to your death. And then she's like, fine, I guess I'll show you where it is. And it's like through this cave, all the roads lead under the mountain. And she's like, okay, well, just remember 3 things. Don't drink the wine. Don't make any deals unless your life depends on it. She makes a deal. And don't trust anyone. She trusts people. Very exciting. And then she gets caught by the Atar Atar once she gets in the cave. So. Oh, and she said, this made me laugh too. She was like, if you need a place to stay to hide with your boys, take them across the wall and go to my family's house. Tell Nesta that I sent you. She knows everything about you and she'll make sure you stay safe.
Really?
I was like, really? Nesta?
No. All right. Well, that was chapter.
That was so weird.
That was chapter 32 and 33. Finally. We were at the good parts.
We're getting to the under the mountain.
I'm very excited to read all of that.
We are up to chapter 34 and chapter 35. It's A Court of Thorns and Roses by Sarah J. Maas, if you don't know the shortened version, ACOTAR there.
We read these chapters
Two weeks ago.
I can't summarize the first.
We kept having to push the segment.
I can't summarize the first one because I just reread 35. So I can summarize 35 if you can summarize 34.
Okay, I'll do 34. All right. So, okay, we are brought to the throne room, I think. Vera is we. Mm-hmm. Aramantha is a redhead, which I did not remember at all.
Really?
And she's got a crown. Yeah. Did you remember? Or are you
saying
you
didn't
know?
Yeah, I've always known she was a redhead.
No, I pictured her as, I guess, like, I don't know, real, really dark hair. I don't know.
Why? Because dark hair is evil?
No, I just always pictured her with like a dark hair. I don't know. I pictured her looking like the Snow White witch, actually. That's what I pictured her looking like. Anyway, because of the way I think that she's immortal, she wants to be immortal. I don't know. That's just what's in my head. The Snow White witch. Anyway, she's a redhead. She has Claire Bitter, who is the young woman who Feyre said she was to Rhysand when he asked. She has her body twisted up and tortured, hanging on the wall above her.
Wonderful.
So that Feyre can see. Yeah, it's disgusting. And Feyre says she's come to claim the one she loved, Tamlin. She loves Tamlin.
Tamlin.
And Tamlin
still has his mask on.
Oh, yeah? And Tamlin's like, I don't even know her. I don't know what she's talking about. She's lying. And Amarath is like, no, you're lying. And you definitely love her. And she has Jurian's eyeball. So Jurian is the human who fell in love with Aramantha's sister and betrayed her sister because they were at war with the humans. And Jurian used his relationship with Aramantha's sister to gain knowledge about the other side. And so Aramantha, Jurian murdered, I think they murdered her sister. And then Aramantha.
Yeah, Jurian tortured and murdered Amarantha's sister.
Yeah. Even though he was supposedly in love with her, mm-hmm. and she was in love with him. And so now Aramantha has Jurian's eyeball in a crystal ring that keeps his soul alive in conjunction with this finger bone that she wears around her neck of his. Mm-hmm. And so he could see everything going on with his like eyeball inside her ring, which is really weird and creepy.
Yeah.
And she says that if Feyre can complete 3 tasks, then she can have whatever she wants. And so there's like this setup that she can have Tamlin and release all of the Tamlin's court members if Feyre can complete these 3 tasks. We have no idea what the 3 tasks are going to be. And or she says, or if you can solve this riddle for me right now, you can go immediately. And each task will come. And she's stretching out the tasks so much because they'll come once a month at the full moon. Yeah. I was like, really?
That's a long time.
So long to wait. So she gives her this riddle. I didn't write down the riddle.
I didn't either. I thought you would.
I just thought it was annoying. Like, well, the riddle doesn't
come until chapter 35.
Oh, we haven't gotten it yet.
No.
Maybe that's why I didn't write it down.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway, then they beat up Feyre. I forget why. I think she says
so
something.
Here's the thing. She Alice says to make no deals. And here comes Feyre into the mountain and then makes a big old deal. And she's like trying to be like, and this, and then this, and like trying to make sure like there's nothing in it. And what she forgot to be is like, and make sure I'm not harmed.
Yeah, I don't want to be murdered. She's not thinking this all the way through. I just want to note Katie saying in the chat, I can't think of anything more embarrassing than announcing your love for Tamlin. Oh my God. Anyway, yeah, Alice did say, unless your life depends on it, but Farrah is, I guess, under a lot of pressure. She's not thinking this through. She needs a lawyer there to, like, make note of something she wants included on this deal contract.
Yeah, because there's, like, no one there who's really going to help her. She just is coming in so helpless.
Yeah.
Yeah. What she
coming
was even
in as
thinking.
A human. Just got a knife at a gunfight.
Yeah, so she keeps asking, she's like, okay, well, what happens if, like, I don't make it through one of the tasks? And Amarantha is like, well, there won't be much of you left. And then
it's like, then that's it. Mm-hmm.
And she's like, well, if she doesn't accept Amarantha's deal, then she's just gonna kill her. So I guess you're right. This is like a life or death situation. And so, yeah, and then immediately what happens is that she gets beat up. Tamlin's eyes say no, but she accepts and gets beaten to death. So that's wonderful. Like, both of these chapters, he's just like
pretty bad.
She's just like trying to get like something out of him, like the whole time. Like, does he truly love me? Like, what's happening here? Like, I don't know.
Does he love me?
Yeah. I just feel so bad for her.
Because he's sitting on a throne. He's sitting on a throne next to Aramantha, too. We didn't really set that up, but, like...
Oh, that's right.
She wants him to be her cohort. Yes. He basically was her first choice for sex slave, and then Rhysand was the backup dancer, and he came and became...
So was she having sex with him this whole time? Slave.
That's what it sounds like. He was her, like, quote, whore, everyone said.
No, not Rhysand, like Tamlin.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think Tamlin is, because I think Rhysand has already filled that position. Mm-hmm. But, like, I don't know. I don't know, actually. I just can't see Tamlin doing it. I could see him, like, getting everyone hurt because he doesn't want to sacrifice anything.
Yeah.
Because of his morals. You know, like, he won't bend, whereas Rhysand is bending to protect everyone he rules over, like, and he's willing to sacrifice his well-being for all of them. Mm-hmm. Like, Tamlin is not thinking in those ways. He's thinking, like, I will never bend to you, even if it means the destruction of everyone and everything I love.
Yeah. Okay. Hold on, I'm pulling up chapter 35 so I can read off.
Chapter 35.
Open. Okay, so chapter 35.
Oh, the riddle.
She wakes up. Her nose is broken. Her face is swollen. She feels like shit. She's thrown into a like a dungeon type of thing, and there's like mold she smells, and like, she was like, well, I guess I should have probably asked what my living
situation.
She's
given moldy food.
Yeah, like just water and bread.
She's given moldy food,
and so immediately,
and there's mold on it.
Lucien enters the cell and says that she shouldn't be there. Just like, yeah, duh.
Oh, yeah. And Lucien gave her... Okay, I wrote this down. Aramantha actually gave some of Lucien's power back to coax Tamlin into being his whore.
Oh, yeah.
So Lucien has some of his power back because of a deal with Tamlin. So I guess Tamlin did bend for Lucien.
And so Lucien fixes her nose... And with magic, and she faints, and she comes back, and like Lucien, like, we find out a little bit more about Amarantha through Lucien. He's like, oh, I guess you know everything now. Yeah, because obviously they kept it from her because they couldn't tell her. So we find out that Amarantha and Jurian fought in the battlefield and used their armies as shields, but she finally got to him, tortured him for months, and ignored the King of Highburn, and they lost the war. That's the reason why they lost the war, is because she was so dead set on torturing Jurian. Took his eye and the finger bone. And then Feyre gets pulled to the throne room again, and gets questioned about what her name is.
And they bring Rhysand out too.
Yes. So like Amaranth is like, well,
yeah,
I was up all last night and I was thinking about how I don't know your name. Like, what's your name? She doesn't give it to him. And then she's like, Rhysand. He like comes out and then he starts getting questioned about like, he's like, is this the girl that you saw a couple months ago? And he's like, all humans and look the same.
All humans look the same.
I'm like, what's her name? She demanded of Rhysand. He goes, how would I know? She lied to me. Not the fact that he could like pull things out of her mind. Okay. So
yeah,
then,
and then like when she doesn't budge, yeah.
Yeah, when she doesn't budge, they pull Lucien out again. Poor Lucien. With his brothers behind him. And she's like, okay, Rhysand.
They threaten Rhysand.
Pain.
Yeah.
It's just like Bella with Jane, yeah. and Edward. Yeah. And she's like, wait, my name is Feyre. She did, and she didn't ask.
Don't do it.
Amarantha did not ask for her last name, which I thought was interesting. So then we got her name.
Do you even know her last name? What is her last name? Feyre of Human.
Feyre Archeron.
Archeron. Oh, yeah.
So we got her name, and now it's time for the riddle. So I'm wondering, I'm like, wait, because she's going to tell her the riddle. Does she have to answer it at that moment, or can she answer it whenever she wants to answer it? Because I'm like, can't someone help her at that point?
I feel like it's whenever she wants to answer it, but we don't get really a line like of technicalities.
No. So she goes, solve this riddle, Feyre, and you and your High Lord and all his court may immediately leave with my blessing. Let's see if you are indeed clever enough to deserve one of our kind. So the riddle is, there are those who seek me a lifetime, but never we meet, and those I kiss, but who trample me beneath ungrateful feet. At times I seem to favor the clever and the fair, but I bless all those who are brave enough to dare. By large, my ministrations are soft-handed and sweet, but scorned, I become a difficult beast to defeat. For though each of my strikes lands a powerful blow, when I kill, I do it slow. I don't understand riddles, so I was like, I'm dumb. I'm a dumb human. I don't know this.
I feel like this riddle is very wordy, so it will take a lot of, like, I'd have to write it down and, like, pull out each line to figure out. Like, I like doing riddles, and, like, when there's this riddle in Goblet of Fire with the spider, yeah. And I remember, like, stopping and doing that riddle with Harry and figuring it out with him. But like this riddle, I was just like, fuck this. It's too much work. It's too long. and it feels like it's probably metaphorical. I don't remember what the answer is, but I think I do think that she gets it by the end. Cause I don't think we do all three Mm-mm. of the tasks.
But do you think everyone does. In okay, that room, yeah. like knows the answer?
No. I think Amarantha knows the answer, and that's it. Like, I don't think everyone like instantly knows riddles because they're a fae. Like, she acts like fae are so much cleverer than humans, but they're the same sort of. Mm-hmm. They're just like humans. They just like have powers and heightened abilities. can see clearer. Like, I think they have a heightened, they have a blown out sense of self. Like, the fae think they're so much smarter and so much clever, and they're just like people. I wish it had been a riddle about the surreal or something, so she could have been like, oh yeah, I have experience with that. Yeah, it feels like it's something obscure. I don't remember. Don't tell us, because I kind of want to try to figure it out as we get closer.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, so then yeah,
that's it for the yep. chapter, right?
Well, she's thrown back what in happens? Her cell, and then it ends being like, it's your first task.
Oh, yeah. So we've got, I'm looking forward to the tasks, even though I remember feeling let down as I read them. I just remember like feeling like we were going to the Goblet of Fire mm-hmm. and then being like, oh, this is nothing like that. Mm-hmm. This is depressing.
This is like the first time where I was like, I really just want to keep reading.
I just remember feeling sad. This is like another reason why I think this book wasn't my favorite. It was like always you're getting stepped on and never you're standing up to the people around you. Like it was a constant slap in the face and you never get like the arc of becoming powerful enough to be the person that doesn't get stepped on until the next book. The next book is her... It's her montage. It's her growth arc. Yeah. It's really stretching out like the typical character arc into two books. Like you typically would see, I feel like the hero character kind of rise by the end of the novel, but I really don't feel like Feyre does. I feel like she's finally finding herself because she's been so stepped on her entire life. Mm-hmm. And she doesn't really get to a point where you feel like, yeah, Feyre did it. Doesn't she die in the end? Like,
yeah, pretty much.
Have to bring her back to life.
Yeah, back to life.
So, yeah.